How do you make your decisions on a daily basis? What you want to eat, where you're going to go, what classes you're going to take, what you want to pursue for a job, what you're going to wear, who you're going to hang out with. How do we make these decisions? You know, it seems like a lot of people today just make decisions based on how they feel or what they want to do or just basically on a whim. But this morning I want to make sure, or I want to advise us that we use wisdom and discretion to make every choice that we make in our lives. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Right here this says, in all your ways acknowledge him. And in verse 4:26 it says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Every single way. Are we making sure that we're pondering our paths and making sure that every single step we're taking is directed by God and like with Christ at the center? Because it should be. And so that's one thing that I want to make sure we emphasize this morning, especially for the younger people, but for everybody, is to make sure that we're using wisdom and discretion to make every choice that we make and put God first and making sure that we are acknowledging him in each and every one of our actions and choices. I believe the writer of Ecclesiastes in 12 and 13, Solomon had it right when he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Ultimately, our only job here on earth is to fear God and keep his commandments. And if we do this, every single thing that we need to be doing, how we treat our brothers and sisters in the Christ, how we dress, how we act, everything that we do, if we fear God and keep his commandments and use wisdom and respect to our decisions, everything that we need to be doing will be taken care of. So I said I wanted to mention this, especially for the younger people, because it seems like in high school, around college time, there's so many decisions we're expected to make that we really have no idea how to make. And we really like, don't know what we're doing. We're expected to go find jobs. We're expected to take classes and like figure out what we want to do, and we have no idea what we want to do. When we have no experience, all we've done is gone to school for a long time, and we have to choose a career path. But ultimately, I believe if we use wisdom and discretion, if we go to the Word of God, these decisions are, we can make them. They're easy to make, ultimately. And if we use wisdom, the writer of Proverbs also adds some things. In verse 8, it says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. If you look in verse 18, it says, happy are all who retain her. You will walk safely, in verse 23. If we use wisdom and discretion to make sure every step we are taking is in the right step or is on the right path, we will walk safely. We will be happier. We will have a happier life. And so one of the ways that I think we can make sure we go about staying on the right track, as our brother just mentioned before me, is making sure that we go to the right people for the right advice. If you go over to Proverbs 1, over there in verse 8, it talks about, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. Also, using elders and people that are wiser, that have more knowledge than us, to help us out. These are very important things to make sure we stay on the right track. I won't go into any more on that. But one thing I do want to emphasize, just as an encouragement and exhortation, is Titus 2 verses 3 through 5. It says that the older women are supposed to be teaching the younger women. It says to teach the older women to teach the younger women. There's a job for teaching for the older women that they can do. That they have a role and they can be an encouragement. And there are some things that ultimately that really can't be taught from the pulpit or even maybe from a male. There are things that the older women need to be teaching the younger women, and they can help them out in this respect. So I encourage you and I exhort you to take that role and fulfill that and be there for the younger sisters in Christ, because they need you and you are needed by them. So help them out, be there for them. And ultimately too, anytime we offer advice, I pray that the older people will use the wisdom and discretion to offer the right advice. Sometimes I believe that it's equal parties. We as younger people need to make sure that we're heeding the advice and taking it with the right attitude, but also please use wisdom and discretion in giving the advice and helping the younger ones to make decisions. There are many young adults that are trying to figure out how to make decisions on their own, and they want to make decisions on their own and they need your guidance and they want it, but sometimes it can be pushed upon in a condescending attitude and, oh, I don't know why you would feel that way, do this. But please help and guide in a loving manner. So that ultimately the younger ones will want the advice, but ultimately do it in love. One more thing that I want to offer a little bit of advice on in wisdom is just from past experience, and also I believe in the Bible, is coming to social pressure and like what we do and how we go about our college and high school times, is never having the attitude that we can just go and do whatever we want and that other people are not going to influence us. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I can go do these things and I'm not going to be affected by it. I can do this, I can do that. You know, Jesus ate with tax collectors. I can go there, but I don't have to do those things. You know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But I believe if you go there and look at that, Jesus was there preaching. He was teaching the word of God, and people were listening. And 99.99% of the time, you're probably not going to go hang out with people that are doing wrong things and do the right thing. So don't go there and tempt yourself to do the wrong thing. So ultimately, set yourself up for success. So I want to read Romans 12 and 1. This says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. First and foremost, let us use wisdom to make every decision that we make. Second, use parents and the wise ones around us to make these decisions. Please, older ones, give wise advice and help us out when we need it in a loving manner. And fourth and finally, set ourselves up for success and resist the devil when he does appear.
Turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the first chapter. We're going to start reading there in verse 15. Excuse me. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, we live in an evil world full of sin, full of unrighteousness, lying, stealing, false religion, above all sin. But so did Paul the Apostle. And yet he was in jail for teaching what he taught and for believing what he believed. And if that came down to us, we should be able to do that too. But he was still able to say that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think we can learn a lot from this statement, and I hope you can say the same as we study this a little bit more in depth. In Matthew the 28th chapter, verse 19, Jesus is giving the Great Commission, and he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus teaches his people, teaches his disciples, to teach others about everything that he has taught us about. We are not to hide anything that the scriptures talk about from other people. We're supposed to teach them everything that it teaches. Too often, I think, as Christians, we neglect to instruct people about the teachings of Jesus that are a little less comfortable for us to talk about. If we are teaching someone about the gospel and we know that they believe in multiple or individual cups on the communion table, we shouldn't shy away from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which teaches about this idea. If we know that we're teaching someone about the gospel who believes that instrumental worship music is okay, we shouldn't shy away from Colossians 3:16 just to avoid an awkward conversation. In Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by avoiding certain parts of it. You know, a lot of people in this world are evil. Some are liars, thieves, idolaters, and others are drunks, adulterers, and homosexuals. The month of June is also known as Pride Month. It's an entire month dedicated to showing people and showing the pride of the sin of homosexuality and other vile sins in this day and age. But I think too often, people in this world are proud of the things that they are ashamed of. The things that they are involved in are shameful, and yet they are proud of them, and they show it gladly. And yet we as Christians sometimes are ashamed of the things that we should be proud of. We should be boasting throughout the entire world that we have the hope in Jesus Christ that we do. In Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 26, it says, For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him I will be ashamed when he comes in his glory. From the mouth of Jesus, he says that if we are ashamed of him in this earth, while we are here in this life, he's going to be ashamed of us when he comes in his glory, when we are in the judgment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Paul tells his young apprentice, Timothy, that he shouldn't be ashamed of Paul because he's in prison, because he is considered a criminal by the world. We shouldn't be ashamed of him, or we shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus for whom he represents. We should be willingly ready to join him in suffering for the gospel. All the apostles died horrific deaths except for John. They were crucified, beaten, scourged for what they believed. And as Esther said back when she was appointed queen, you remember that she was appointed queen back in the book of Esther, and Haman had convinced the king to decree that all the Jews should die. And so she goes before the king and she tells Mordecai that if I die, I die. She was willing to die for what she knew was right, and we should be willing to do the same. I leave you with one final thought. as we go throughout this world, we should not be ashamed of what we believe, of what we are taught to believe. It's what Jesus has given us. And as Paul said in Romans, the first chapter, the power of God to salvation is the gospel of Christ. And so we should not be afraid to preach it to whoever, whenever, and to whatever. Thank you.